and Alice are here.
They certainly are. How about that? Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are live, as always, in the studio in beautiful, sunshiny, clear water, Florida.
Praise God.
Hey, Bill, isn't it gorgeous outside today? Did you see all that water, how beautiful it was as you were driving?
I know. You are the best. That's why I come here. That's why I say, dear Lord, wherever I am, just let me make it to living the good life.
That's right. Amen. And you're always on time, and I just appreciate that about you.
And we do have, we all going to be sticking up into the full time there, and we just say prayers to the other person, and everything. And turn out good for everybody.
Amen.
Well. Okay. So anyway, we're so glad to have Bill as our engineer. He's a sweetheart. We're so glad to have Deb and Alice here in the studio live with us. And we're going to talk more about why they're here today, all the way from Houston in a little while.
Did they win a Grammy?
It's something like that, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, something real close to that. Yeah, and for all of you that tune in from different parts of the United States and in the Tampa Bay area, welcome to Living the Good Life. This is our fifth year on the air with Tan Talk 1340, and we are so glad to be a... Yeah, there you go. That is exciting. There we go. Man! Look at all those people here in the studio. It's amazing. We're so excited to continue the good work that we began back in April of 07 with this live radio broadcast. And it has really just grown, not only in listening audience, and that is so true, but and also in our radio team. And it started out with just a handful of us, about five. And now we are up to, like, I don't know. Eight or nine, something like that. Radio team. And people that are devoted to this ministry and being a part of it. And it's exciting to have you all doing your part on living the good life at Beacon of Hope. Today is a very special day. Today is Mother's Day 2011. Cool. That is cool. All right. I've got to give a little shout out to my mother. Alice and Deb, you were just with me. We went to the nursing home. Actually, she's in assisted living, and we went there a few minutes ago to see my mama.
We did. She was looking good.
She looks good, doesn't she? She's getting ready to have a birthday pretty soon. She's going to turn 87.
Wow.
Isn't that cool? We sang to her.
Hello, Dottie. Well,
that's
hello,
right. Because my dad always called her Dottie, even though her name's Dorothy. And my mom and dad were missionaries. I grew up in Central America. They were pastors, evangelists, traveling evangelists. And I grew up in the ministry with them, giving their lives to the Lord. And it's just cool how God has blessed them. And Mom, even though she's getting up there in age, but she's just healthy and really good.
She looked pretty good to me.
She looked good. And she's funny, isn't she?
She is funny.
So, hey, Mom, I love you so very much. Happy Mother's Day today. And it was great getting to see you a few minutes ago. And Mother's Day is a great day. It reminds us of how special it is to be a mother. All three of us are mothers.
Yes.
We are also all grandmothers.
Yes.
I know the listening audience is going, man, they don't sound old enough to be grandparents. But you know what? In truth, yes, we are. And Deb, you have four?
No.
Four children.
Four children.
And how many grandchildren now?
Eight.
Eight grandchildren.
I have more grandchildren than you do.
I do. I only have four.
I have eight.
I have four grandchildren, and Rylan, Chase, and Justin belong to my son, Ryan, and his wife, Elizabeth. And then little Levi belongs to my daughter, Lori. And Alice, you have a daughter, Sarah.
I do. And two beautiful grandchildren.
Two beautiful grandkids, and their names?
Samantha and Draco.
Yes, Samantha and Draco. So we've got a big group of, we're represented here, don't we?
Yes, we do.
It's a fun day to be to Mother's Day and grandmothers and all that kind of stuff. And what a blessing of the Lord to have children. And some of you out there may have never had that particular blessing, but you have other blessings in your life. And I know it's always fun every year to celebrate Mother's Day and Father's Day and kind of honor our parents. And some of us have lost our parents. They've gone on to be with the Lord. My dad is in heaven rejoicing around the throne. And both of your mothers are up there.
That's right.
Yes, and I have to give a shout out to my mom. I know she's up in heaven. But,
yes.
But I have to say, I love you, Mom. Love. Until I was 5 years old, I thought my name was Dang It, Debbie Don't. Because that's what my mother always said to me. So I love you, Mom. Dang it, Debbie Don't.
That's cool. All right. And Alice, your mother went to be with the Lord a few years back.
That's right. 2002.
She was very ill. And
yes.
Cancer, right?
Right. Pancreatic.
Pancreatic,
cancer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you lost her, and then you lost your mother.
In 2008.
2008. So, and mine's still kicking, so praise God for that.
And I have to talk to mine more.
You have to talk to yours more?
Yeah, I have. I don't talk to her a lot.
Well, you should, Bill, because, you know, it's just, you know, life's short. So.
And then I have a stepmom who I haven't talked to in a long, long time.
Okay.
But I still feel negative thoughts about my stepmom sometimes. So.
Well. Forgiveness, that's the key.
I know.
You know, that's a good point you bring up, Bill, because so often we allow the hurts of the past and the things that have happened to us to keep us from those very special relationships that we need to stay in touch with. So we'll be praying for you and that relationship with your stepmom. So
thank you so much.
You got it. So anyway, to all of you out there today, it's going to be a really good show here on Mother's Day. We're going to talk about where do you belong, where do you fit, and how you fit in your own family, but where you fit in the family of God, and we're going to really amplify on that. And we're going to talk about how God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, works in us to help us understand where we belong. And that's really cool. And so we will have some great music that will amplify that thought. Also, today we have email up and running. If you would like to send us a little note, and you could ask a question or just say, hi there, how you doing, or anything you want to. And the email address right here in the control room or in the studio. And also, anytime if you would like to reach me, it is pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. That ends in IES. And in a little while, Alice will talk about the prayer ministry and what God's doing there, because it's mighty, isn't it?
It's just wonderful.
It's just growing and like crazy. So God is doing a great thing there. So we're glad you've joined us. You have plenty of time to get on the phone or email and invite a friend to listen to the show today. Introduce them to Beacon of Hope through the radio ministry. I think that's a great way to do it. And they can get a very good idea of what we're all about and what we believe in and what we teach. And it's all about Jesus. It is all about Him. It's all about the Lord in our lives and what
Amen.
God can do, you know?
Wonderful.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? So welcome back, Alice and Deb. You've been gone.
Thank you.
For 2 years.
Almost to the day.
Almost to the day.
Yeah.
2 years ago, your job transferred you back to Houston, Alice.
That's right.
And you guys were out there, and that was good, but you felt that tug to come back.
We felt that this is where God wanted us to be.
Right.
I really believe that God wanted us more involved with the ministry at Beacon of Hope Ministries.
Yeah.
And so we had to just step out in faith and say, yes, Lord, we will do what you tell us to do. And here we are.
And here you are. We're going to get more details on that because it is a huge step of faith.
Yes.
And it all came together in about a 4 or 5 week period of time,
mm-hmm.
didn't it?
It did.
Very quickly and not expected, except that your heart said, we need to be back in Tampa.
Right.
In the Tampa area. And so we're excited to hear about that from both of you today. And today we are going to really emphasize the work that God wants to do in you. And part of that, dear listener, is finding out that God cares so much about the details of your life and where you really belong. And what does that mean? We're going to start with a great Rodney Howard Brown song, Holy Spirit, Thou Art Welcome. I love this song.
Holy Spirit, Thou Art Welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou Art Welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy,
Hallelujah. Let's agree in prayer right now together. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome in this place and on this radio show right now as we agree together that your perfect will be done on the air today. Lord, we just reach out in faith, believing that you're going to minister to countless souls that find this show either later on down the road on our website or live right now. Lord, you know where the people are that need to find your words today on this show. So, Lord, we just trust you for that. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. You're welcome in this studio. You're welcome right here in this room. And you're welcome in our conversation and in our teaching and in the music that you have ordained belongs on this show today. So, God, it's with grateful hearts we come before you, and we thank you for your blessing on this time together on Living the Good Life today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Woo, we're glad you've joined us today, and we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to talk about where do you belong, because you do belong somewhere. You do belong somewhere. Most of us were born to a mother, correct?
Yes.
Right. Most of us, yeah, most of us were. Nobody hatched like Superman or from the planet of wherever that was or however
that I'm aware of.
You don't remember that. Mm-hmm. You remember being born from a mother, right? And because we each have earthly parents, some people don't know their earthly parents because of circumstances. Maybe they were adopted at birth, or maybe they had step parents, or who knows? There's a lot of interesting family relationships out there in this day and age, aren't there?
Yes.
But at some point, you were born and your life began, and somebody took some responsibility for you. Somewhere, somebody took responsibility and caused you to be taken care of. And sometimes we hear stories, and we hear this a lot in the ministry, of people that have been abused as children, that have had a very unpleasant growing up time.
Right.
It's out there, isn't it, Alice?
Oh, yeah,
it's very common, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's unfortunately more common than a lot of us would like to believe.
It really is. And so often people grow up thinking that they're really not loved that much, and perhaps feeling that they don't really fit anywhere. You know, I don't know about you, Deb, but I think that's, like Alice just said, I think that's fairly common in society and around the world, that there's a lot of people that are feeling that disjointedness, you know, that not feeling like they belong anywhere at all.
Well, and that's why they seek out things that are not necessarily good for them.
Right.
You know, alcohol and drugs and and other ungodly things.
Right, yeah. Because there is that need to sometimes just bury the pain, you know, from where they have felt like nobody really cared for them and nobody really wanted them around, you know?
Right.
You know, and that's it, unfortunately, in this day and age, we hear that kind of a story a lot, of people feeling that they were a burden to somebody growing up instead of a joy and a pleasure, you know. Sad, but true.
And you know, it's really interesting because I can remember feeling that, you know, I was a burden at one point.
Right.
And It's really interesting how when I finally chose to grow up.
You chose to grow up,
and
huh,
take
Deb?
Responsibility
All
for
right.
myself and my life, how
right.
I began to see that I wasn't a burden on my parents, but I was a blessing.
Exactly. I want to start today with Psalm 139, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, you can join us. But Psalm 139, David wrote this, and I just love the psalm, always have. And I did read part of this a couple weeks ago, but it bears repeating as our topic today. Psalm 139, verse 13, David says this to God, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." That reminds me of your knitting, Alice. What do you call that? Your crocheting.
Yes.
Alice, you made me a beautiful prayer shawl. Did you not?
I did.
I'm going to wear that Friday night for our prayer meeting.
Yay.
Yes. And it's just really cool. that that's a great metaphor that David uses right here. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You know, from watching you crochet, because I watched you make my prayer shawl, a little bit of it.
Right.
It was interesting to see that you could talk and sing and do whatever, not really pay much attention to what you were doing, those stitches and all that. Kind of came natural. Or
I've been doing it for a while.
You've been doing it for a while.
Right.
Okay. So, but you had to do certain patterns and certain stitches to get the desired result, correct?
Yes.
Okay. It wasn't just haphazard. You just weren't putting that knitting needle in there and, right?
Right. Right. There was a pattern I was following.
Okay. In your mind or on paper? Or?
Originally it was on paper, but because it repeated.
Right.
I was able to do it without looking at the paper.
Okay. And it was really cool to watch you do that. Well, that's a great metaphor for how God knit us together in our mother's womb. I mean, I was a biology and chemistry teacher and in pre-med, and I remember studying anatomy and studying how the cells divide, meiosis, mitosis, and how they, you know, and how, I mean, it's just such an amazing thing that God can take a little tiny, minuscule, we can't even see it, egg, and a sperm so small that you also can't see it, and bring them together in those little things are all the DNA that make us who we are. Isn't right. that cool?
Yeah, it's very cool.
And then how he knows, God knows, to divide it, then, you know, just keep dividing it and it just develops. And the birth of a baby, you know, this being Mother's Day, I had three kids, birthed three children, and in 4 years, and it seemed like most of the time I was pregnant there for a few, few years, I was just pregnant all the time. But, you know, just that first flutter, do you remember that first flutter? You're
yes.
both mothers. Do you remember that first flutter when you feel the baby move, and then as he begins to kick and grow, and then he punches you, and it gets uncomfortable and all that. But when he's born, I remember thinking and saying to my husband, you know, man, what if this baby is just ugly? You know, are we going to want to even take him out, you know, in the grocery and stuff? And, you know, as parents, especially new parents, you wonder what your child's going to look like and
right.
what kind of personality they're going to have and how are they going to be? You know, are they going to be fun? Are they going to be kind of, you know, you just wonder all those things, you know? And I think it's so cool here that David says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And I love verse 15 of Psalm 138. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. That's in the womb. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. That is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
God, that is really an interesting sentence right there. Your eyes saw my unformed body. So God planned you, Alice. He saw you in his mind or in his heart. He saw you before you were ever growing in your mother's tummy. How wild is that?
I know. That's wild.
Isn't it? I mean, in other words, you were in your heavenly father's thoughts and plans before you were ever conceived.
Right.
Oh.
That's amazing. And it's amazing to think that he knew all the missteps I would take, all the, you know, the things I would do well and the things that I would do that he wasn't so pleased with, perhaps.
Sure.
He saw that and he knew all that and he loved me anyway.
Oh, and he loves you anyway.
Yeah.
Woo, praise God. I love that. And I love this next part. Your eyes saw my own formed body. I'm in verse 16 of Psalm 139. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How interesting. God knows the number of our days.
Right.
He knows exactly what's going to happen. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. And I love that because that tells me two words that I mentioned this Wednesday night in Bible study. Divine design. Divine design.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to amplify on that?
Well, divine, that's what we've been talking about.
Right.
It's all about, you know, divine God, God ordained.
That divine means God. Right. Right.
And designed means that how you are put together. Or,
right.
You know, you have engineers that put together bridges, you know,
right.
And they design those bridges. Well, this divine design is about what God has planned for us.
Amen. And he knows exactly the number of our days. He knows... Mm-hmm. He knows our good, like you said, our good things and our bad things about us. He knows, he forms our personality in the womb. And I just love all that about him. And he knows where we belong. And, you know, he sets us in families for a reason. And sometimes people later in life go, why was I put in that family? You know what I'm saying?
I used to wonder that.
Did you?
I did. When I was little, I used to wonder, you know, why this family, you know? Why these parents? Why do I have that brother? You know, I really wondered those things because
your mother was from China.
Right. From Hong Kong.
And your father?
British.
Yes.
Yes.
And now you're in America.
I'm here in the States. Yes.
Right.
But I wondered at that time, why am I here? Why is this my family? You know,
right.
I mean, I had issues growing up like a lot of people do. And there was times when I wanted a different family.
Right. I'm sure some of our listening audience can relate to that, too, and say, I wish I had a different family.
But you know what? With all the difficulties that I had growing up with my family, God has allowed me to use those difficulties.
Go on. Amplify on that. That's perfect.
Well, you know, I had a lot of issues with my mom growing up.
Okay.
Okay. Which a lot of girls have issues with their mom, mother-daughter issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have run into more and more people now that I'm older who are struggling with the same or similar issues that I had with my mom.
Ooh, my.
And I am able to share some books that I've read that have helped me.
Right.
Some scriptures that have helped me. Steps that I took to try to mend relationships or try to work through the relationship. And if I hadn't gone through what I went through as a child, I would not have that information then to help somebody else.
That's exactly
right.
So
God knew. When I was a little kid going through what I went through, God knew. And God said, okay, when you know this child grows up, she's going to run into so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so who are dealing with similar things, and I'm going to use her to help them.
That is exactly right, and that's divine design.
Right, exactly.
The whole plan is divine design. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 says, these words were written by Paul so long ago, but it says, he is the God of all comfort that comforts us with the comfort. We comfort others with the comfort that he has comforted us with. That's
exactly.
I didn't have that exactly right,
yeah.
But that's the concept of what you're talking about, because you've gone through things that perhaps were very hurtful and painful at the time.
Right.
And yet, some way down the road, God says, I'm going to put so-and-so in your path, you know, Sally Mae or whoever it is,
mm-hmm.
And she is going to need to know what you have learned from that situation.
Right, exactly.
And it's going to bless you and it's going to bless her.
Right.
And
it's
ahead.
Crazy because when I was little,
yeah.
You know, I do the same thing that sometimes I do now. You know, why am I in this situation, God? You know,
right.
Why did you put me here? I don't get it. I don't understand it. Now I know that I may not understand it now.
Right.
But further along the road, God will reveal his reasons to me.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
God will reveal that. And it, you know, some of it may not come till I meet him in heaven.
Right.
You know, but I know that eventually when his timing is right, that it'll be explained to me and I will have a better understanding of him.
And when those puzzle pieces, if you will, come together, you know, on a daily basis and something happens and we see, oh, wait a minute. Because I went through that, I can now minister to this person because I did go through that. I did experience that. I don't know about you all, but I just feel such a sense of, ooh, that explains
yeah.
it.
Well, and it's really weird when God puts someone in your path, because it happens to me a lot, where when you meet them and you start talking to them, you feel like you're looking in a mirror at yourself.
Yeah.
10, 20, 30 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
That happened to you recently.
Minus
that
happened
to me recently. That happened to me recently, and it was like, wow, I have so much to offer this person.
Really?
You know, but the hard part, that's where the hard part begins.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you have a tendency to want to bottle it all up and
right.
hand it to them with a book of directions.
Right.
And you can't do that.
Well, and you can't be too preachy, and you can't, you gotta get on their level.
Right. Right.
And that's one of the things that the goal of this radio broadcast is on a weekly basis. We want to chat and teach, but in an informal way where you see that we go through the same struggles you all out there go through, mm-hmm. and that we understand that there are times that you're going, oh, that's why I went through that, because we have had these circumstances, mm-hmm. and we all need each other. You know, that's, in fact, let's just run over there to 2 Corinthians. Before we go to 1 Corinthians, let's go to 2 Corinthians, because I just, that scripture just keeps being on my heart here. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and it starts with verse 3 and goes to verse 7. What translation are you dealing with there?
The Life Application, New Living Translation.
New Living Translation. Do you want to read 3 through 7 there? Verses 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 7.
All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all of our comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us.
Amen.
For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ.
Amen.
Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you.
Ooh.
Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that that as you share in your sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. Amen.
Isn't that a wild few verses right there? Alice, do you want to comment on that while Dev gets a drink of water here?
Wow.
Wow. Okay, wow is good. That's a good comment. Better than yes. But
well, you know, today, Pastor, you know, we after church, the leadership team, we were sitting around talking, and I made the comment that, you know, we all have to kiss a lot of frogs in life before we find that right person or, you know, find that right solution. And it's all those frogs that we kissed, you know, that we learned something
from.
So
to speak.
And, you know, and Connie even said, you know, that as long as you learn from your mistakes.
Right.
You know, then you're able to move forward.
Amen.
And what I have found is that, you know, I had a friend that used to always tell me, what you resist persists, what you experience goes away.
Oh.
And that is so profound.
Oh, that's good.
Because, you know,
what you resist persists,
you experience goes away.
Okay. In other words, just get on through this thing.
Just walk through that fire and keep going.
Keep going.
Because I have found that when God throws obstacles up in my way, if I turn my back on them.
That's right.
And try to just say, you know, I'm not going that way. And I go down the other fork in the road. Well, eventually that obstacle that I turn my back on is going to come back.
That is a huge point. I was listening to one of Graham Cook's CDs this week, and I love him. He's just really, we're going to use one of his CDs Friday night for our soaking prayer night. And he said that he used to say, oh, man, this experience I'm going through, I feel like I'm going through hell. And he said he used to say to somebody who would say that to him, well, you better run fast, brother. And he said then God began to minister to him that, wait a minute, you're going through that experience for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of praying to get out of it, see what you need to learn in it.
Right.
And, you know, it's really weird. I can remember not too long ago praying for finances.
Right.
And just, you know, I was like, okay, God, I don't know how I'm going to get this bill paid. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And God, you know, I need that $1 million check to come to my front door because that's what I wanted. That's what I was asking for. You know, that mysterious check to just appear.
Right. That check, yeah.
That check, you know. And what I learned out of this was that, you know, as I'm praying for this, I'm thinking the whole time. I'm praying, but I'm thinking. And I sat down with my budget and I realized, okay, if I change this and this and I stop doing this, then I can do this and this. And it wasn't God sending me that miraculous $1 million check to my door. It was God showing me another way out.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Exactly. You know? That's our theme, isn't it?
It's not all about always God just making this miracle happen.
Right.
It's about God teaching you to use the tools that he gave you.
Wisdom. Amen.
The wisdom that he gave you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's not all about waiting for that miraculous check to appear.
So, with that in mind, verse 5 says, "If," and I'm in 2 Corinthians 1, "if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer." And basically, that is saying we go through these things, but you learn from the things I go through,
mm-hmm.
right? I share with you. I've gone through some struggles the last few months, but boy, God has really come through for me, has he not?
He has.
As you helped me move a few days ago into my new home. I mean, God has really, really blessed me and met a huge need in my life. And as I was going through some of the months of struggling, you know, and teaching, regardless of the struggling I was going through, still believing God that he was going to supply my needs. And even the month of January, I taught tithing and prosperity and believing God that he was going to take care of my needs. So when we are going through these things, we comfort others by them looking at our lives and seeing how we handle the struggle.
That's right.
Because that what we need to do is learn patient endurance in the middle of it. Comment, Alice.
I think that a lot of people forget that they are often a window to God.
Ooh. That's interesting.
That.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, you know, like you said, you know, you go through certain struggles and people, you may not realize that people are watching.
They're
you.
Watching. Boy, they're watching.
They're watching and they're seeing, okay, well, she's going through this difficult situation. How is she handling
right.
it? Is she moping around? Does she have a sad face on and, you know, all that? Is she living what she preaches?
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
And I think that we often forget that God shines through us.
Amen.
We're, like I said, a window to God.
Right.
For the people that don't know him or don't know him well or have difficulty, you know, trying to get that personal relationship with him.
Right.
That he can reach them through us. And
right.
it can just be a simple thing of, you know, yes, we may be going through this certain struggle and this is how we handle it. We continue to praise God in the
Amen.
Bad times.
Amen.
You know, and
Amen.
And though we're feeling down and out, we have a smile on our face because we know that God is with us holding our hand through the hard times.
And we praise him in spite of what we're going through.
That's right.
And we praise him as if we already had the answer.
Which is exactly what Job did.
Which is exactly right.
You know, Job has all these catastrophes happening to him.
He loses
his children,
boy.
His home. He loses all of his livestock.
He even had his wife tell him just to curse God and die, you know?
And
lost his wife's
and
support.
And the whole time, he's praising God.
Amen.
You know, and in the end, God gives him all of that back and then some. And at the same,
absolutely.
And at the same time, you know, I'm listening to what Alice is saying, and I'm thinking, you know, people are watching us
right.
to see how we handle things.
Right.
And then you talked about how I learn from your experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where you go to God's Word.
Right.
Because we can learn from the experiences in God's
Amen.
Word.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. And see those stories. I'm just thinking of Paul and Silas in the prison
mm-hmm.
where they were midnight and they were going to, you know, they knew they were in huge trouble. They were going to kill them or whatever, you know. And what do they do in Acts chapter 16? We don't have to go there, but we can just remember the story that it says that at midnight hour, what were they doing?
They were praising.
They were praising God.
They were singing and
they
praising
were singing.
God.
Mm-hmm. They were singing and praising God.
And their jailers thought they were nuts.
Absolutely. And they were singing and praising God and having church in the dungeon in that jail. And as a result of that,
their chains were broken.
Their chains fell off.
Their doors were opened.
Woo! We could do, oh my, we could just go right here off on a tangent about praise. But you know, there's Paul and Silas together. Okay? And here they are in a very difficult situation. And praise God that God so often allows us to be in a difficult situation, not by ourselves, where Amen. We have people around us, like Paul had Silas, and we have people around us that can remind us, wait a minute, you need to be praising God through this. Mm-hmm. I remember this morning at the end of our service at Beacon of Hope, ministering to several people, and I remember saying this over and over again that the Holy Spirit was directing me to say that no matter what, how difficult your circumstances seem, God wants you to praise Him as if it's already happened. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, I mean, you know, I have a job situation, you know,
right.
And there was, I was, you know, well, I don't know how to say it exactly. There were some promises made that haven't been followed through on yet.
Right, right. Yet.
But I know that my God is making a way.
Amen.
And I am believing in Him, and I'm going forward as if it has happened.
Exactly.
And I am praising Him for what He has provided for me.
Now, people in the secular world, let's say, that don't know God would say, well, you're crazy. You're thanking God for something that hasn't even happened. You're praising God before He does.
But, you know, you've got to think the way...
That's faith.
Faith, but you've got to think the way God thinks.
Right.
You know, He sent His Son to this earth to die for my sins before I was even born.
There you go.
Well, you know, to take a
Good
step back with the secular world, you know, think of it this way. You know, if you don't understand God and you don't believe God, then think of it this way. You're at your job and you're doing your job every day and you're grinding it out. And your boss never says thank you, never pats you on the back, nothing. And you feel pretty bad. But turn it around. If you had a boss that every day walked in and said, you know, you're doing a great job.
Even before he saw your daily production.
Even before he saw your daily production, you'd be going, wow, he thinks I'm pretty cool. You know, and then an hour goes by and he comes out to refill his coffee cup and he walks out and he goes, you know, you're looking really good today. Glad to have you here. It boosts your ego.
It boosts your ego.
And you know, God.
Amen. That's
just,
good.
God just inhabits our praises.
He loves our praises.
He loves our praises.
He just loves our praises.
You know, and if and you know, it's like the golden rule. You treat others the way you want to be treated.
Amen.
If you want God to do good things for you, you got to do good things for God.
You got to praise Him. He loves praise.
He
says that He inhabits the praises mm-hmm. of His people.
That's right.
He shows up when we praise Him. Look what happened this morning at Beacon of Hope. I mean, major things happened today. We could go on and on. But besides new people walking through the doors, we absolutely began to worship and praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit of God was there from the moment we started to rehearse the songs
That's
for
right.
the worship time. I mean, the very first one, it was just, whoa. He descended. He inhabits the praises of His people.
Right.
He descended. Ended like a warm, fuzzy blanket all mm-hmm. over us, didn't he?
Yeah. He did.
I mean, you know, I really believe that if you ever feel like you're alone,
yes,
start praising God and you will feel His presence.
In other words, you start saying, Lord, I love you. God, I praise you. Lift your hands to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And you just say, God, I bless you. I don't understand what you're doing in my life. I may not understand how this is going to work out to my benefit, but I praise you because you have the answers that I cannot see yet.
Right.
And it takes your mind off the negative. Look at what you and Nathan were doing on Thursday.
That's right.
You're standing in Pastor's kitchen and you're packing up Pastor's kitchen.
They were packing up my huge kitchen,
hours.
Let me tell you. Hours. It took you guys like 5 or 6 hours to pack my kitchen.
You have too much stuff.
Well, I've already gotten rid of one little tiny box of stuff, I want you to know already. This is good.
And you know, those of us that were moving the big stuff and loading up a truckload at a time and taking it over to the new house, we'd come back and we'd open the door from the garage and we'd hear them in the kitchen singing praise songs.
That's right. They were writing songs too.
And y'all
cool.
were writing songs. And you cannot tell me that did not help that time go past better.
Oh, yeah. Of course it did.
And it lifted the negativity because we came in several times and they were like, we are so sick of this kitchen. But y'all kept at
so
it.
Was I.
And y'all got it done.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank God for close friends who come to your aid in the time of need. Praise God. But this point is very well taken because we are talking here today about where do you belong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a group of people designed by God, divine design, where you fit, where you belong. and where you can be, as Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 1, where you can comfort others with the comfort where you've been comforted.
Amen.
You
That's
know,
right. Amen.
Where you can minister. And I know we are ministering to many, many people across the airwaves with this show. And praise God that hopefully some are receiving that kind of comfort and insight into their circumstances because of what we're going through. And yeah, it was a hard day all day Thursday. But you know what was so cool is the humidity was non-existent on Thursday.
That's because
as
God
hard
knew
as that
we
day
needed
was.
That weather.
I moved on Thursday, Bill, into a new little home, and I'll tell you what, the humidity was non-existent. My dear friends, Deb and Alice, Nathan and Sean, showed up, and some other friends with a moving truck, and I'll tell you what, it could have been so bad, and it was such a wonderful, glorious time, really.
Yeah, it was pretty cool outside that,
it was not
those
bad.
2 days. Yeah.
It wasn't bad at all.
I was freezing because I went out to the laundromat and came back, and it was pretty cold out there.
It was actually cold in Florida that day. But that's what I'm saying. God's got people in your life. Bill, we are in your life for a reason, Engineer Bill.
That is correct.
And you and I last Sunday had a little prayer time together, didn't we, before the show?
Yep.
And that was really cool. And so wherever you are out there across scattered across the globe, God has a group of people designed to be your spiritual family.
That's right.
And we're going to amplify on that in just a few minutes. It starts this whole process, I believe, with allowing God to search our hearts and for us to get to a place where we are willing to be a part of that family, where we are willing to let the Holy Spirit minister to us and root out the junk. And it's just like, you know, that when they refine gold and they put it under fire, right? I've never seen this done, but I've heard about it. And they put flames under it and a big old, you know, kennel. And they begin, the heat begins to, all the impurities rise to the top.
Right.
Okay. Well, the heat of God's word and of being a part of a body of believers, it causes that junk to rise. And sometimes you see something in yourself and you go, ugh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
In fact, you told me today driving, Deb, that you saw something today in service. You go, nah, I think I'll get rid of that little thing in my life. How cool is that, the way the Holy Spirit does? Search me, O God, and know my heart.
I come before you. My life, bring to you a worthy sacrifice.
Praise God. All right. Great song by Hillsong. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia here. Pastor Marcia McAllister here with Alice Mize and Deborah Reasonover, and it's so cool to have you back here with us.
It's so cool to be here with you.
It really is, because God is doing a work in these last days, and I will say last days because we see so many signs that the end is coming close, and I'm not wanting to teach on that today, but just to say that it's time for us to start getting our priorities correct.
Amen.
And to realize, and I said this to the two of you as we were driving to the station today, that God wants us to realize that the real us is our spirit being on the inside, that when we die is going to heaven. Mm-hmm. You know, that if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your spirit being, and that your physical body here, we're going to get resurrection bodies, and we're going to be able to recognize each other. So if you think you're going to get rid of me, you're not, because Alice, one of these days in heaven, will find you. And yeah, we'll probably be going up on the same elevator. But anyway, you know, the resurrection body is really going to be cool. And we'll teach on that some other time. But we are a spirit. We live in a body. And we have a soul, and the soul is our emotions, our will, and our mind. Mm-hmm. And I think so often we spend all our lives working on our body and our soul. We work out. Nothing wrong with working out. Praise God. That's great. You need that. You need to exercise and all that. But so there is such emphasis in our country now on working out.
Outward appearance.
It's outward appearance. It has everything to do with the muscles and the six pack and all of that. Which is, again, nothing wrong with that if there is time to develop your spirit.
That's right.
Your God, the God part of you, that part in here where God fills that vacancy. And our soul, so often we spend so much time just doing things that are not going to do anything for eternity. We work on our emotions. We work on our, you know, we may spend hours belly aching about the latest travesty that just happened to us. You know what I'm saying? You want to amplify on all that, Alice?
Well, you know, like you were saying, you know, people spend a lot of time working out, dieting, exercising.
Nothing wrong with any of those
things. Nothing wrong with any of that. However, there's got to be some balance.
Balance.
You know, you not only have to take care of your body, your outward appearance, and your mental state, your emotions, but you have to take care of what's inside, the soul.
Right. Yeah.
Your spiritual being.
Yes, your spiritual
and,
being.
You know, anything, I always think anything in excess is not good.
Right.
Anything that's lopsided is not good.
If you haven't picked up your Bible for the last 3 months, there's something wrong.
Something's wrong somewhere. You're something's out of balance.
Out of balance. If you haven't taken time to get quiet before the Lord and pray and talk to Him, something's wrong.
Right. Right. And you have to, I believe you have to examine your own life.
Search me, O God.
Nobody can do that but you. You have to examine and you have to see what are your priorities in life.
Amen. Sister, preach it.
If your priorities are, oh, you know what? I'm going to watch this show at 7 o'clock. I'm going to watch this show at 7:30 and then this show at 8 o'clock. Oh, and then this show comes on at 8:30. I've been really wanting to see that. And then I'll change the channel so I can watch this show at 9 and, you know, 9:30. Oh, and then, you know, I've got to go to bed because I've got to get up for work in the morning. And then in the morning, oh, well, I'm going to watch the morning news while I get ready. And then you go off to work. And then, you know, maybe during your lunchtime at work, you're say, okay, well, I've got to, you know, work in that exercise because I'm not going to have time to do it when I get home because this show's coming on at 7 and this show's coming on at 8, right? So to me, when I look at that, I'm saying, okay, your priorities in life are your television schedule and your exercise and your job because you have to eat.
Right.
You know.
Which but none of those things by themselves are wrong.
None of those things by themselves are wrong.
It's not at all.
You know, if you have certain shows on TV that you like to watch, watch them.
Me,
you know?
It's baseball games every night. All right.
If
but still.
You know, if you have, you know, certain things that you like to do on a regular basis, do them.
Right.
But you have to have some balance. You've got to have God in there somewhere.
Amen.
Now, do you want God to be number 6th, 7th, or 8th on your list of things to do when you have the chance to get to it to do it?
Exactly.
Or do you want to push that further up on the list, you know, and maybe, you know, God would like to be number 1 priority in
Absolutely.
Your life.
Absolutely.
You know, but He understands if you put you know, do family thing, want to do things with your family,
sure,
or whatever.
I mean,
you
all
know,
those
God
things.
God understands that stuff. But you've got to have some balance. You've got to make time not only for yourself to grow in your emotions and
right.
deal with your emotional stuff, but you have to be able to deal with your physical body, of course.
Exactly.
And God wants you to deal with your spirit. And
why is that so important, Alice? Why is it so important to spend time working on your spirit man, is what we call it, or your spiritual being that's on the inside of you? That's the real you, by the way.
Because
why is that so important?
Well, I mean, if you look at, you know, what we've been talking about, basically you're saying, okay, there's these three parts that need to be worked on.
Right.
You're basically ignoring one third of you.
Exactly. The most important, really,
well, right,
because
right. And if you take a look at anything and you know, only work on certain pieces and ignore another piece.
Right.
It's not going to move forward. It's
right.
not going to get anywhere.
Right.
You know, for instance, let's say you make you want to serve a meal, three-course meal, right? You've got your main dish, which is your meat, and then you've got your side potato and then your salads. Those are your
sure.
three courses, right?
Right.
Well, if you only cook the salad and the potatoes, something's missing.
Right.
You're not going to be satisfied.
Right.
You know? So you have
That's
to...
That's a good point.
Yeah. You have to have all those pieces.
You got to have it all. Fantastic. Your comments on that, Deb?
Well, you know, I keep thinking, you know, about making time for God.
Right.
And making it a priority in your life. And I'm not saying that if you do this, this and this and this is going to happen. I can only speak for what has happened for me.
Okay.
What has happened for Alice and I.
Yeah.
You know, we made a conscious decision to make time for God. And we did it in the evenings when we got home from work.
Right.
And we sat out on our front porch, so we didn't have the TV.
Okay.
We didn't have the animals to bother us. We sat out
didn't
on our front
the telephone.
Porch. Didn't have the telephone. Sat out on our front porch.
Praise
with
God.
With our Bibles and a cool drink, and we just started reading.
Right.
We just opened the Bible, and we would read.
Yeah. Praise God.
And when we started being obedient
Amen.
To that, God started talking to us.
Mm-hmm. Draw close to God, and He will draw close to you.
You know, and at the same time, you know, we have not, you know, we've been gone for 2 years.
Right.
You know, and now we're back.
Right.
But in that 2 year span, we became disconnected
right.
from our group of followers.
Right.
You know, from our little unity
right.
group. And I was thinking in church this morning when Pastor Jim was preaching, I kept thinking, you know, it's like the analogy of a football team. If you've got a center and the center's got the football and he hikes that ball to the quarterback,
right.
then the quarterback has to have somebody to either hand that ball to.
Sure.
Or to pass that ball to.
Exactly.
Now, take the quarterback out of the equation.
Right.
You've got a center who hikes the ball and it just kind of goes off into the air.
Oh, that's a good analogy, isn't it?
And you got somebody running.
You don't understand it, I know. But Deb and I do because we understand football.
but
so
you,
that's okay.
Got,
just listen in,
you got somebody running
yeah.
out in the, you know,
right.
in the field to catch the ball.
Right.
And he's waving his arms like, hey, I'm over here. But he sees the ball going the other way because there's nobody behind that center to catch that ball.
Right.
You know? And I just kept thinking this over and over in my head about how disconnected Alice and I became when we were in Houston.
Right.
Because
you really belong at Beacon of Hope. And it took, you knew that, but you also didn't understand why God sent you out there. But, you know, sometimes we have to wait on those answers as to why.
And but at the same time, we allowed ourselves to get caught up
mm-hmm.
in, as a lot of people will say, in our pity pot.
Yeah.
And we started feeling sorry for ourselves, and we allowed ourselves to get caught up in secular things that we knew
right.
this is not what God wants for us.
Right.
You know, and then we came back in February for the 200th radio show.
Yeah.
And when we came back, God hit us upside the head with a 2x4.
Mm-hmm. We were home.
We were home, and we knew it. And, you
mm-hmm.
know, Alice was born in Europe.
Right.
And came to the United States when she was, what,
three?
Three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm a born and bred Texan.
Texan.
And anybody who knows a born and bred Texan knows that we think Texas is the best state in the whole world and everybody else is second best.
And God has begun to show you the truth now.
But,
go
you know,
Florida.
But, you know, I never thought I would want to live anywhere but Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were here before, I took Beacon of Hope and and the group of friends that we had here, I took them for granted.
Right.
And then God, see, I really think that God knew I was taking you guys for granted.
Hmm.
So he took them, he took you guys away.
Hmm.
So it's all your fault?
It's all my fault. It usually is. But, you know, he took that away from us, and it was like when we didn't have it, we were like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And now that he's given it back, we can't get enough of it.
Praise
but
God.
But what my whole point behind all of this is that we decided in February, this is what we're going to do.
Right.
And we started to become obedient.
Amen. That's the key right there.
And we started,
you had no clue how this was going to come about.
No. We started tithing.
Right.
We started Bible study every night.
Right.
We weren't going to a church. We didn't need a church. Where two or more of you are gathered in my name.
Right.
You've got church.
Yeah.
And it was weird. God began sending me my neighbors who would come sit on my front porch. And I would start ministering to them.
Praise God.
And I had this one neighbor, Billy. We'd sit on the front porch and we'd have church in the middle of the week.
Oh, amen. That's cool.
Is there any t-shirts out there instead of "You Got Milk" like "You Got Church"?
No, but there should be.
"You Got Jesus" is what it should say.
Yeah,
really.
I've seen those.
But you know, my point is that I'm not saying that as soon as you decide to start tithing that God's going to give you all the answers. It may not happen that way for you.
But it did happen that way for you.
But it did happen that way for us, and it was so fast. And the sad part about it is that it's happened that way for us before.
Right.
One time before, and we forgot.
Right.
We took it for granted, and we walked away from it.
Amen. You know, that happens to so many people. Point well taken, because we get caught up in the busyness of life, and we forget the principles of God that really do work. And we are glad you are joining us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are going to amplify on this and talk more about where do you belong in our next hour. You have time to call a friend, invite them to listen to Beacon of Hope's Living the Good Life today, and let's do some station identification and find out where we are live on all those radio stations in 8 states right now.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills and Wesley Chapel, and KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Which covers 7 states, by the way.
Aha! Yeah. 7 states plus 4 to be number 8, is that correct? Or 4 to 7?
I don't know. Those sound like those are numbers in my head.
Okay, I'm not sure. 7 or 8, but it doesn't matter.
Oh, 7, yes, 7.
7, okay. Praise God.
I thought you said 7, 4, 8.
No, 7 plus Florida is 8.
Oh, 7 plus Florida is 8.
That's the way I understand it. All right, got it. Okay, and if you are listening by radio, you can also join us on the internet, and that is www.tantalk1340.com. And, of course, there's video right there, so we're waving at you. Tantalk1340.com. Push the listen button and invite a friend to join you in listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. So it's a joy to be on the air today with you, Pastor Marcia McAllister, Alice Mize, Deb Reasonover. We are here in the studio. And did you miss being in the studio? There were times you would call in and be on the show, Alice. But
I love being in the studio.
Me too. There's nothing like it.
There's nothing like it. And, you know, after a while when you're on the phone, holding the phone to your ear for that long, it's just...
2 hours,
just,
yeah.
Just not good.
It's not good. And it's so much better to be live. Bill, you have a comment, Engineer
Bill.
Yeah.
Well, I know your book and a lot of things going on. I was just curious after... Carol, Miss Carol Witcher's piece on ABC's Nightly News with Diane Sawyer. I'm wondering, was there an increase in traffic to your website?
I don't know. I haven't checked that because I've been moving this week, so I have no clue. But I will tell you that Carol's dog, Floyd Henry, who discovered the cancer in her breast that we talked about last week, and we played you were so kind as to play the whole thing from Diane Sawyer's ABC World News from 2 weeks ago. If you go to floydhenry.com, you can see all the places now that this story has gone. By the way, she was interviewed, Alice, Friday from a journalist in England. Who has picked up the story now, and it's going over there.
Wonderful.
And since that's your birthplace, I thought that was kind of cool.
That is cool.
And it's just going everywhere, and it's exciting because Carol is one of our regular team members, radio team members. She was on the show last week. It was Carol and I, and we did play the piece from Diane Sawyer, And it is amazing. She was at Emory University where she was treated a few years back. She was there this week, and Dr. Gabrams, her doctor, said that the incredible number of people contacting them about this whole thing, about pets discovering cancer and this whole new experimental thing they're doing with the patient, you know, blowing into a tube and analyzing the breath and all that. It's just amazing what's happening here. So go to FloydHenry.com and you can see the ABC news clip from Diane Sawyer.
I have one more question. I've been radio 20 years, and I will say that this program needs to be picked up by other radio stations. So if there is a program manager or an operation manager that happens to come across your show today, how would they contact you about picking up this program?
That actually happened a few weeks ago, Bill. Pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com. I was contacted by a big radio conglomerate in Arizona and about taking it on. But the problem was, seriously, that the amount of money that they needed to put it on was not doable for our ministry right now. We thank God that every week we are paid in advance here on Tan Talk, and this is our fifth year, and there's not been one Sunday that we have not paid in advance for the show, for the 2 hours. But this conglomerate in Arizona that contacted me, it was not a financially doable thing for our ministry right now. But we would like to go into syndication for Living the Good Life. We would like to find other radio.
Once that happens, then you can establish a clock.
There you go. All right.
I mean, you have one now, but then that would get, you know, wherever. Let's say big station in Chicago is taking your program. They know at a certain time they can play whatever they have that was sponsoring that hour there in Chicago.
Well, and that's what we need. We do need sponsors. And if any, thank you for bringing that up. You and I did not discuss that in advance. That's just on your heart, and it's on mine, too. And that's one of the goals of this show, that we do find sponsors that will take this to local areas. And it is a blessing that this station now has that other whole group of stations where we are live in Arkansas and Mississippi and all of that. So praise God for all of those blessings. And we love being on the air, living the good life. And it is a joy. And we actually, Deb has internet up right now. You can contact us. You can send a little greeting. You can say Happy Mother's Day, or you can say anything to us. And it's Pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries. com. So we're glad you've joined us. Alice, I want you to talk a minute about the prayer ministry and what it does, what it means. And we had somebody that called in and wanted prayer, and so we will definitely get that taken care of.
Yes. Well, the prayer ministry is email sponsored, basically. If you'll send an email to prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com, then with your prayer requests, either Deb, myself, or Pastor Jim will get that prayer request out to our prayer team. We not only send the prayer request out, but we will also include a prayer so that we're all praying in agreement.
Amen.
And if you want to be added to the prayer team, then again, send an email to prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com, and we'll get you on the list. Now, the prayer requests that we have come in right here, I really believe that when we say we're going to pray for someone, that we should do it, and we
Go right away.
So we had a prayer request come in for Brother Chip, who's been on Tan Talk for 30 years or more, and he's been preaching the Word of God, and he is dealing right now with some kidney stone issues.
Okay.
So if you would all agree with me in
prayer.
We
do right now. Go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord God. We ask for a complete healing for Brother Chris. We ask that you will just dissolve those kidney stones, Lord God, that you will free him from pain, that suddenly it will just be gone. Lord God, your word states that by your stripes we are healed.
Amen.
It's a promise that you have made, Lord God, and we are claiming that promise right now for Brother Chris. Lord God, we believe and we agree that right now that healing is being done in your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers, and thank you for being true to your promises. In Jesus' holy
praise
name
God.
We pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So they can just write prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com, send in the request, you write a prayer, and we get it out to our prayer team. It is prayed for, and the answer happens.
It does.
That's right.
And I must say, Brother Chip is the Mac Daddy of religious radio.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, we just prayed for Brother Chip. Praise God. Our own Nathan Burton will be on the show with me next week with Connie. And Nathan is our minister of music at Beacon of Hope.
That's right.
And he's written a ton of songs. We have his CD on our website. You can go there and get a copy of that. And this next song is one that Nathan wrote a few years back in our ministry. And it is, We Are the Body.
We are the body of Christ. We are his body, the body of Christ. We're his hands healing, God's power revealing. We are his body, we are the body of Christ. We are the body, the body of Christ. We are his body, the body of Christ. We're his feet moving, the gospel proving. We are his body, we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Are his body, the body of Christ. We're his heart beating, his love repeating. We are his body, we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are his body, body of Christ. We're his voice teaching, the hurting reaching. We are his body, we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are his body of Christ. We're his hands revealing. We are his body, we are the body of Christ. We are his body, we are the body of Christ.
Praise God. Great song. Hallelujah. I remember the day he wrote that song. That's been several years back at Beacon of Hope. How cool. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start with verse 12. The body, and that's what Nathan just sang about, the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. Okay, that's the body of Christ that we're talking about. And we are the body of Christ universal around the globe, but there are small bodies of Christ as in different locales all over the world, and those are little church bodies or ministry bodies. So it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. And now we're at verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. How's the coughing? Are we better?
Better.
Better. All right. Deb, you want to go on there at verse 14, I believe it is?
Bless those who...
Wait a minute. No.
Nope. I'm in Romans. Sorry.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
How did I get to be in Romans?
I don't know. Let's let Alice... You got it there? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14, I believe.
I got it.
Go ahead.
Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard less as honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body.
Amen.
And each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles. Second are prophets. Third are teachers. Then those who do miracles. Those who will have the gift of healing. Those who can heal others. Those who have the gift of leadership. Those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all.
And that way of life that Paul was getting ready to talk about in 1 Corinthians 13 is that everything we do must be done
in love.
In love. So what is he saying here about all this body of the body of believers? Alice, I want your take on some of this, or just comment where you feel led to comment.
Oh, well, Pastor Jim commented a lot on this today during his sermon, that there are different, all of us have a specific place in God's plan.
We sure do.
In the body of Christ.
Right.
Okay? You know, some of us may be hairs on the head of Christ. Some
right.
of us may be, the eyes in his head. Some of us may be the hands that he's using to do work. Some of them may be the ears or whatever.
Right?
Right? So, all of us are important.
Right.
There's not one that is better than the other.
Right.
Because, like the word says, you know, we can't all be an eye. We'd be
right.
just big one big giant eye rolling around, you know, and that's not a body. That's an eyeball.
Right.
Right? And so we can't all be eyes because then we wouldn't be able to hear.
Right.
We can't all be ears because then we wouldn't be able to see.
Right.
We can't all be, you know, noses because we wouldn't be able to speak. We could
right.
smell stuff, but we couldn't
right.
talk about anything.
Right.
So, you know, all of these parts, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, the hands, the feet, all that stuff is important to make up a whole, complete, united body.
Amen.
And
translate that into what that means in a church body or a body of believers that meet for a Bible study or come together as a community of believers.
Well, you know, God gives different gifts.
Right.
To his believers. And, you know,
we're not all exactly alike.
No,
that's
no,
the
no,
point.
No. Your gift, you have a gift of preaching and teaching,
yeah.
right?
Exhortation. Yeah.
Right. And so not everybody has that gift.
Right.
And if
we're glad because everybody'd want to preach every Sunday,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Right. If everybody had that gift, who would right. be sitting in the congregation
right,
listening?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, there
so,
you go.
So some people have you know, just different talents that God has given
like
them.
Brother Nathan plays the keyboard incredibly and by
he
ear
does.
And
he
writes
does.
Songs. And there's nobody else in our congregation who writes and sings and plays like he does.
Right, right. And, you know, some of us are gifted with you know, the ability to carry a tune.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, our place is to sing with Nathan.
That's
you know,
right. You're one of those. Yeah.
And, you know, some
she
of us.
She can carry a tune, and so can you. Yeah.
And when I don't have a frog in my throat.
There you go. You're froggy today, aren't you?
Yes,
froggy,
I am.
Froggy. Okay.
And, you know, so all of these pieces come together
mm-hmm.
to form the ministry of Beacon of Hope
Amen.
Ministries. You
Amen.
Know, some of us are led and really feel strongly about the importance of prayer.
Right.
You know, you know, God really lays that strongly on my heart. And so there's, I feel like I'm stumbling over myself.
No, you're fine. You're
but
doing great.
With all these pieces, God is putting them all together to work for him,
right,
to reach out to the people that he needs to reach.
That's exactly right. And he knows the people that are going to come across our path, the people that listen to the show, for instance. And he knows what they need to hear. And there, I believe today there are people out there that don't feel that they belong anywhere. You know, maybe they are ones that have just never been a part of a little body of believers, or maybe they stumbled on this show today driving down the road, or whatever the case may be, and they realize, wait a minute, is there a little group where I belong?
There is. And you know, I've been there.
Okay.
You know, I've sang with other praise teams before,
right,
at churches.
Yeah.
I've never felt like I truly belonged.
Really?
Really. I felt like, yeah, I was part of the little praise team, but I wasn't, I don't know how to describe it. It wasn't where I was supposed to be. It wasn't truly what God had
okay.
for me.
Okay. Wow.
It's hard to explain.
I've never heard you say that.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
But even though I knew that I was called to praise and worship.
Right.
Right. And I love to sing, and I love to sing praises to God. And so I was being obedient in doing it, but I still didn't feel that this is where I really was supposed to be for whatever reason. Either
right.
I felt inadequate or didn't feel part of the group. I don't know. I can't explain that.
Okay.
But I do know that with Beacon of Hope, God has put me here. God
right.
has a place for me here.
Exactly.
I feel that, you know, getting up on Sunday morning and singing praises to God at Beacon of Hope is where I should be.
Praise God. All right. Let's amplify on that. Deb, I want you to talk about this thing of how, you know, how the devil can get into a body of believers, into a church body, and cause a lot of jealousy and a lot of craziness, and people get all honked off because so-and-so is, you know, singing, or so-and-so is playing this instrument or that instrument, and you know what I'm talking about?
Unfortunately, I do.
Or fortunately, so that our listening audience can hear this. Talk about this.
Well, you know, Satan is going to find any little chink in the armor to get a little foot in the door to
right.
try and stir things up, because Satan runs the ultimate soap opera.
Right.
You know, and the difference between me now and me 10 years ago, I would have allowed the drama to be continued through me.
Ooh, okay.
And, you know, but whenever Satan throws that up in my face, now I will verbally say something, you know, to myself.
Right.
But I won't use that to verbally hurt someone else.
Right.
Because I almost live now by the rule of, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Guard your tongue. I mean, the word that tells us to be very careful with what comes
right.
out our mouth.
And if you don't allow that to move forward, then, you know, you're stopping Satan in his tracks.
Right. Exactly.
You know, but it happens all the time. You're going to have somebody who wants to be the lead singer and wants to sing all the solos.
Right.
You know, but we're not about a solo group. We are a team. We are a unit. We sing together, you know?
And so does the whole ministry body, whether it be a church group or a Bible study or whatever. It's a unit.
It's a unit. And,
right.
and everybody has their place. I mean, you have, you know, like Alice said, you know, you are the senior pastor because you were called. Your gift is exhortation.
Right.
You know, Pastor Jim's gift is exhortation, but Pastor Jim's gift is also the gift of knowledge.
Teaching, yeah.
Teaching.
It's what he thinks is his strong suit.
He is our walking biblical encyclopedia.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
You know, and it's so cool to
right.
have him. I've never been in a church setting before where I've had somebody that you can say, well, you know, how did they say this in Hebrew?
Right.
What did this mean in Hebrew?
And he knows. He knows.
You know? Yeah. And then we have the Shawns, you know, Brother Sean.
Oh, yes.
You know, he is our
Keeper of the house.
Keeper of the house.
He really is.
He has the keys to the house.
Yeah.
I mean, he makes sure that everything All the lights are working. All the, you know, the bathrooms are up to standards. Mm-hmm. The kitchen is going. The coffee's right. going. You know, that's what Brother Sean does.
And he does a great job of it. And he's the steward or the keeper of the house.
That's
and
right.
And even to the point of making brownies sometimes. Hallelujah.
And chocolate chip cookies.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. He does
wow.
that every Sunday. It's
Something.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have the members of the church who are, you know, chefs, who are the cooks.
Right.
You know, who you know when you're going to have a potluck.
Next Sunday.
Count on them.
It's going to be good.
To bring, you know, their signature
spaghetti.
Their signature dish. Yeah.
Their signature dish.
Are you going to have chocolate chip cookies Wednesday?
We can. If you decide to come to Bible study, we'll make sure we have them.
Oh, I just was wondering. I hear chocolate chip cookies.
They're wonderful,
yes.
They're
wonderful. They're good.
But your point is very well taken, Deb, because so often people feel they don't belong. When they go into a church, they feel like, well, I don't fit here. I am different than this group. Or they're a group of close friends and I don't fit. And I tell you, one of the things about Beacon of Hope is that we really do welcome.
Well, you know, sometimes I think about what is the show at Christmas? Is it Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer where they have the Misfit Toy Island?
I believe it's one of the Rudolphs.
It's one of the Rudolph where they have the Misfit Toy Island where, you know, the boat that has no sail. Or you know, the doll that's missing a leg, or the train that has square wheels.
Okay.
You know, these are all misfit toys, and that's where the misfit toys go because, you know, whoever made them thinks that kids aren't going to want them.
Right.
You know? And so sometimes I look at Beacon as being like the misfit toy island. And that may sound bad. That may sound bad, but you look at our members and where they've come from.
Right.
And the things that they've
been through. A lot of different places in society.
You know, and we don't care where you've been. We don't care what you've been through.
We don't care what color you are or anything else about you. It's just if you belong at Beacon, we want you there.
We want you there. And that's
young, old. Black, white, purple, green, striped.
Yeah, you know, we don't care because God doesn't care.
Right.
You know, Jesus did not care that the woman at the well was Samaritan.
That's right. That's
you know?
A good point.
He ministered to her and he told her about the living water.
Yes.
You know, God did not care that Ezekiel was a tax collector.
Yeah.
You know? It's come down and let's go, you
right,
know?
Right.
And he proved the point that I don't care who you are.
Right.
If you will love me the way I love you, if you will love your neighbor the way I love you.
Amen.
That's what it's all about.
It's all about love. It is all about love. We're going to talk about that part of it in the next segment. But first, we're going to listen to this song by Casting Crowns. Love it if we are the body of Christ.
It's crowded in worship today. As she slips in, trying to fade into the faces, the girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't the body, why aren't his arms reaching?
song. I love that song by Casting Crowns. And we are the body, so why aren't we reaching out and healing like we should? And why aren't we loving people like they need to be loved? And I think a lot of that answer is we get so self-centered and we get so caught up in our own stuff and we think it's all about us when it's really all about him.
Amen.
It's all about him.
You know, Pastor Marcia, I think part of it too is that we aren't taught to love.
Right.
We aren't taught how to give that unconditional, I love you no matter what you do or what you say.
That's exactly right.
You know, you may not like what somebody's doing, but you love that person.
Exactly.
And we're not taught that usually.
No.
A lot of times, you know, children follow what their parents do. And if their parents are, you know, have not been taught how to love, how are they going to teach their children how to love?
That's exactly right. And that's where a lot of it stems back to, I think, really, the growing up years. We counsel a lot at Beacon of Hope, and I hear this a lot in counseling. People that have had really miserable and bad, you know, growing up years, childhood years. And because of that, they don't know how to love. So they haven't seen it in action. You know, and I know you're a Brit. And I tell you what, I so enjoyed watching the wedding, the royal wedding of Prince William and Catherine Middleton last week. And knowing, you know, I thought it was really cool because they just emphasized so well the love between the two of them. It was not an arranged marriage. It was something they actually fell in love.
Right.
And you could see it in the way they looked at each other. You could see it in the way they touched each other. One portrait has her hand on his knee, which I love that, you know? And it was just seeing that is a real example of the way we should love each other. I mean, really, that kind of committed love, not just in a relationship, a marriage, a partnership, nothing. I'm not talking about that. I'm really talking about in the body of Christ, how we are to love each other unconditionally. And what does that mean to you?
Well, I was very blessed that one thing I always knew is that no matter what I did, my parents were always going to be there for me.
Cool.
And I did not grow up in a Brady Bunch, you know, Ward and June Cleaver kind of family. I mean, there were problems, there were issues, but I always knew that my parents loved me.
Yeah.
And so I'm very blessed in that. And you know, as my children were growing up, I used to tell my children, you know, I'm your mom and I love you no matter what.
Right.
And you're my child and you should love me no matter what.
Right.
It's okay for you to be mad at me.
Right.
For you to not like me, but still love me.
Mm-hmm.
You have permission to be mad at me. You have permission to not like me.
Right.
And at the same time, still be able to love me. And I think that made all the difference in my kids growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I wasn't the best parent and I wasn't there for them for a while.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going up to someone and putting an arm around them and just standing there with them.
Right. Giving the word of encouragement or whatever.
And, you know,
they
you don't necessarily have to say anything. I mean, we were talking earlier today about, you know, seeing someone in the congregation that you know there's something's going on. You can tell something's going on, but you just go up to them and you just let them know, okay, you know what? I'm here for you.
Right.
Whenever you're ready, I'm here for you.
Exactly.
And then you just stand back and you wait because
that's
God
love.
Does that.
That's love.
Love.
That's
God does
love.
That.
Woo! Right. Amplify on that, Alice. Well, that's love.
That is love. God doesn't push us.
Right. He doesn't.
He'll guide us.
Mm-hmm.
He will suggest things, but he doesn't push us. And we should be the same way. You know, there's so many times that we know, you know, somebody's been laid on our heart or we see somebody and we know that they're going through a difficult time. But they may not be ready to share yet.
Right.
They may not be, you know, ready to talk about it and discuss it and, you know, put it under a microscope.
Right.
But if you'll just let them know that you're there, that you care,
right,
and when they're ready to talk, you know, you'll be there to listen.
And
that's important.
And that's one of the benefits of being a part of a body of believers, a local body. I mean, we have a group, a Beacon of Hope, that are not all together in Clearwater, Florida. They're different places, but they're still part of this ministry. And any of you out there that feel disconnected, that you don't feel like you belong to something, some group, you know, become a part of Beacon of Hope.
That's right.
You know,
we'd
become a part. Get on our website. You can be a part financially by going to PayPal, and people do that and support the ministry and support this radio show. But that really, you need to be a part of a little local or a large local congregation. Nothing wrong with the mega churches. They serve a purpose. But a small group setting where people can get to know you, where you can call somebody in the middle of the night if you've been rushed to the emergency room and you know somebody's going there.
Right.
Or somebody will be up praying for you. Such value in that, don't you think? And isn't that what it's all about as far as love is concerned?
Well, yeah, because the most important thing behind all of this, I mean, yes, that was Jesus' commandment to us.
Mm-hmm. Love one another.
To love one another. But the thing that I really, really want to impress on people is that God the Father loves you like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to wait on you.
Absolutely.
You know, he's so patient and he's going to wait. And if you're not ready, I mean, I'm a prime example. I'm 50 years old.
You are.
And I grew up in church. And I knew as a teenager that there was a call on my life, but I didn't really know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And God waited and God waited.
Yeah.
And I did not answer the call to the ministry until I was 43, I think, 42, 43. And I've done a lot of growing in those years, but God waited on me.
Amen.
God let me screw up. God let me make mistakes. And
he
was
does give
there.
Us a free will.
And there were times when I said, okay, God, that's it. I can't do this anymore. Come into my life. And I would let him in. And then 3 months later, some other fad would come along and I'd slam the door on God and I'd go to this other fad and God would just sit there and he'd just wait.
Yeah.
You know? And
he's so patient with us.
Because God knew that at some point I was going to be at the lowest of the lows and enough is enough.
Right.
You know?
And you were going to reach out and mean business and really mean. You know, Alice, we were talking today about that song that we love so much. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you
and obey.
It's all about that decision to say yes.
Oh, very
much
so.
Do you think?
Oh, yeah. For me, that song helps me through so many difficult times.
Right.
There are times when I know God is asking me to do something that I'm not comfortable with.
Right.
That I don't see how it could possibly benefit anybody. And all it's going to do is mess with, you know, my brain or whatever.
Right.
You know, and in fact, you know, it's funny because when the first time you asked us to be on the radio.
Right. We're back.
Two years, three years ago. I freaked out because I don't talk to people.
3 years ago,
You know, I tend to be very introverted. At least I did until God got a hold of me.
I was going to say, you're not that anymore.
Not anymore. No, God did a change on me.
Right.
But, I said yes, and I did it, and I, you know, I'm more comfortable with it now because I've, you know, done it a few times.
Right.
But, you know, when you say yes, God gives you the opportunity to grow.
Right.
And to learn about him more and get to know him more and have a closer relationship with him.
Right.
Because you're being obedient.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's what God wants from us. He wants us to be obedient. He spelled it out in his words, in his word, the things that he wants us to do, the things he'd rather we didn't do.
Right.
You know, and it's up to us to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do what you tell me to do.
It's obedience. And when you say yes, like the two of you did back in February, okay, God, if you want us back in Tampa area, you're going to have to move those mountains that seem impossible. You're going to have to make a way where there seems to be no way. And when you get to that point of obedience and surrender, I believe that's key right here.
And you,
surrender.
You know, back in February, you heard us. You were sitting right there. We looked at you and we said, you know, we're to the point now where we are ready to quit our jobs and pack up everything we own. And just come this way, you know, just like the disciples did.
Abraham did.
Like Abraham did, you know.
Yeah.
We were ready to do that.
Right.
Well, you know, I think God kind of took us at our word because be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you say. It just might happen because that's basically what happened. Yes, there was a job offer for Alice.
Yeah.
But that job offer has not come through.
Right.
You know, we walked away from, you know, our remaining parents, her father, my father. You know, our adult children, our grandchildren, they're all in Texas.
Right.
And we walked away from them and said, we've got to go do this. And the funny thing is last time we did this, the kids didn't get it.
No. A couple of them were very unhappy with
us. And this time, the kids got it, but our dads didn't get it.
Yeah.
You know?
But the kids have been very supportive and feel that you have to do what God wants you to do.
Yeah,
and I think that's a huge step.
And two of the girls, you know, well, all three of the girls said, you know, if this is what's going to make you happy, then mm-hmm. you need to go do what's going to make you happy. And our son was just kind of like, oh, you know, whatever. You know, dude, I'll come to Florida to see you.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, but it's scary for us because we have literally stepped out in faith.
Oh, and that's a huge thing mm-hmm. to
I mean,
do.
We've stepped out in faith before where we've written that tithe check that we really didn't know that we were how we were going to cover it.
Right.
You know, but this is huge because we've literally just walked away from everything
right.
and said, okay, God, here we are.
Right.
And please take care of us.
Yeah. And God has provided a roof over our heads.
Yes.
Praise God.
He has, you know, as of right now, we are still able to pay bills.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I believe that job offer is going to come through.
Right.
And if it doesn't, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has something better planned.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, we're not just sitting around twiddling our thumbs going, okay, God, you know, give us that check.
No, because you have a body of believers you're connected to
mm-hmm.
that are agreeing with you in prayer like mm-hmm. we did today up in the front of the altar. And we agreed in prayer that the perfect job for you.
That's right.
And we prayed that for another member of our congregation that mm-hmm. the perfect job is going to come through. And God is going to put you exactly where he wants
where he
you.
Wants it.
And yes. praise God, you've got a family of believers that can agree with you about that.
And at the same time, we're doing the footwork.
Right. Going on job interviews,
by putting out resumes,
sure.
and going on job interviews, because God right. doesn't want you to just sit back and wait on him to do it all for
right.
you.
Right.
You know?
In other words, he wants action.
He wants action.
Which I find very interesting, because the song we just played by Casting Crowns, I think we're going to play that again, Bill, in just a minute. And it was track 5. Instead of the one that's up there, I think we're going to do this because I think a lot of times we don't listen to the words very closely, you know, as the song comes on. This song says, if we're a part, if we are the body of Christ, why aren't we out there stepping out in faith? Why aren't we coming to prayer meeting, to Bible study? Why aren't we getting up on Sunday morning and coming to church? Why aren't we God's hands reaching out and healing? Why aren't we the voice that he has called us to be? Why aren't we doing that? And I want to ask you that question, both of you, before we play the song. Why aren't people doing that?
Fear.
Fear. Interesting answer. Why fear?
I think there are a lot of people out there who feel that they have been called by God and are afraid to say yes.
Why? What are they afraid of?
God may send me to Africa.
That's always, isn't it?
Yeah. Standard one. You know, I don't
right.
want to go to Africa. Well,
right.
you know, God doesn't send everybody to Africa.
No, or it would just be really packed over
you
there.
You may be sent to Florida. You know?
You never know where he's going to send you, but
that's
that
right.
is exactly right.
Yeah.
Back in 1991, when I began to do mission work again in Honduras and Central America, where I'd grown up, God began to deal with my heart about launching out and stepping out in a new ministry. And I had been the pastor of the church in Indiana, and some of my former congregants listened to this radio show faithfully. So hi, shout out to all of you Cornerstone people. God bless you. And I'm so glad you listened to the show. But, you know, it was a very tough time for me because I felt God pulling me to a new endeavor, to a new ministry, away from the church I had started. And I had been there almost 7 years as pastor. And it was extremely hard emotionally for me. I look back now and I think, wow, the only way I got through all that was God just undergirding me and giving me strength and comfort. And he gave me so many confirmations in his word mm-hmm. that he was leading me in a new direction. And I actually ended up pastoring that church 7 years to the day. And I remember the pain of leaving there. Oh, my. Even talking about it right now, I can just burst into tears. It was just extremely hard to make a switch, a change, like you stepping out of Texas and leaving behind those you love, but knowing that God has a call on your life and God is calling you to some new venture for Him. A lot of people don't understand when people step out like that. They right. they really just don't get it, and they think you're just being impractical or crazy or, you know, something's wrong with you.
Well, I think it's a matter of where your priorities are set, and we talked about that before, about
right.
priorities.
Right.
You know, I think that I know for myself, my priority right now is to make sure that I stay in God's will.
Exactly.
And if that means leaving Houston and leaving, you know, the kids and the grandkids and, you know, the dads and stepping out without a in-paper offer, you know, letter for a job.
Sure.
That then that's what I'm going to do because
right.
I know that my priority right now is not what's here on earth.
Right.
My priority is what's going on in heaven.
Oh, that is so right on. Woo! Do you have a comment to that?
Well, I mean, you know, we walked away from a very financially secure life in Houston.
Right.
You know, we were both employed, making very good money, you know, living in a nice area. And some of our neighbors thought we were nuts.
Yeah.
Some of our neighbors that we had gotten really close to thought we were nuts for doing what we were doing. But, you know, it's not about the paycheck. It's not about how much money we make. It's not about how nice the house we live in. It's about doing what God wants us to do. And I
wow.
I can see the changes in my life.
Right.
I can see, just like in, you know, we were on the way over here today and I was like, you know, we were away from here for 2 years, and I allowed, you know, this secular world to come into my life and take control over God, and I realized some mistakes that I've made and some things that I'm doing that I've got to stop doing.
Right.
You know? And it's just, I've got to stop.
Right.
Because it's not what God would want for my life, and it's not being obedient to God.
Right.
And the more obedient I am to God, the more of the treasure map that God is going to show me.
Oh, he's just going to. Oh, and I want you to tell about that, the stepping stone thing.
The stepping stones.
Yes. As soon as we play this song one more time, if we are the body of Christ by Casting Crowns.
It's crowded in worship today as she slips in. Trying to fade into the faces, the girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing? Then there is a way. There is a way. If we are
Wow. That is such an incredible song by Casting Crowns, If We Are the Body of Christ. Alice, tell us about the dream with the stepping stones and how this all fits together.
Well, I had this dream, oh gosh, about 2.5 years ago, something like that. Anyway, basically in this dream, I am standing at the edge of a lake or of some kind. And in this lake, there are a series of stepping stones. And as I step out, I said, it's like I'm wanting to cross this lake or this pond. And I step out on the stones and realize that they don't go all the way across. You know, they just stop. And as I get to like the second to the last one, I'm like, okay, you know, if I keep going, I'm going to fall in the water, right?
And amen.
I don't know if I don't want to get wet or whatever, but in, you know, it's a dream. Who knows? But it's like, okay, well, I'm going to step on this last stone and I'm going to see, you know, what happens. And as I take that step onto that very last stone, another stone comes up.
Uh-huh. Praise God.
And I'm like, oh, okay. So then I take another step onto that last stone that has just come up.
Right.
And another stone comes up. And it's like, you know, God is there. God is,
amen,
guiding me along this path.
Yes.
Getting me across this pond.
Exactly.
But I don't see the whole path.
Right.
I don't see clearly across the pond and how I'm going to get over,
mm-hmm,
there. But it's not until I take each step that,
right,
God presents the next step.
That's right.
And I step on the next stone, and he presents the next one.
Wow.
So I think, you know, I really feel that ties in a lot to what Deb and I have done.
Yeah.
In that, you know, as we take these steps and,
yes,
are obedient to God and you know, take these steps out, not knowing exactly how all this is going to work out.
That's right.
Not knowing exactly what path, whether he's going to veer to the right or veer to the left or,
mm-hmm,
whatever. We don't know. But as we take these steps,
right,
God is making his plan available to us,
right,
so that we can see it. And then we have another decision. Are we going to continue to step forward?
Right.
Are we going to stay where we're at? We're going to go, you know, run back.
Right. And it's not just us. God is revealing some things to you.
Yes.
And you're seeing these things happen.
Right.
You know, and God is revealing some things to other people at Beacon.
Right.
And it's like this big jigsaw puzzle.
That's right. It's the puzzle coming together.
Are,
yes,
just starting to fit together.
Ooh,
and
baby.
It's very interesting about the things that happened previous,
right,
to God giving us this option to come back, dangling this in front of our face.
Mm-hmm.
There were some things that happened and we were like, whoa, why did that happen?
Right.
And then boom, here comes this.
Right.
You know, and then it was like, okay, well, we've got to find a place to live. And then boom, this other thing happened.
Right.
You know, and it's
all
just
all the pieces of the puzzle fitting together.
Right. And there were no red flags. There,
mm-hmm,
were no obstacles. It's just, I mean, on the way over here, you know, we didn't know until we got here. We drove over 1,000 miles. And then when we get here, we find out that the trailer that we had attached to the moving truck that had my pickup truck on it wasn't even on the ball of the hitch.
Yeah.
Locked in place. It was just kind of gliding on top of it.
Wow.
And we drove 1,000 miles and the trailer didn't come off and we didn't lose the truck.
That was a
good
thing.
You know, and it's like, why us? Why,
right,
did that happen to us?
God was protecting you and,
you
taking,
know,
care of you.
And but I think, you know, we prayed about it before we left.
Right.
We prayed over the truck and said, God, just get us there safe. And God said, okay, look, I'm going to show you,
right,
that I got you here safe.
And it's so cool that he does allow circumstances so he can show his power.
Oh, yeah.
He allows these things so that we can look and go, whoa, that protection or that healing or whatever it was had to be from God, or that financial miracle had to be from God, whatever, because we are allowed to go through these difficult times in our lives because problems produce faith.
Right.
If we never had a problem, we would never increase in faith.
And at the same time,
Jesus.
Yes. I heard this a couple of weeks ago, and it's just been cemented into my mind, you know. We worry about money. We worry about how are we going to get this bill paid. We worry about how we're going to pay the car note. How are we going to put gas in our car to get to work? Worry is the absence of faith and
That's
trust
right.
in God.
That's exactly,
mm-hmm,
right.
If you have faith and you trust that God is going to make it happen for you, you have no worry in your life. And we're not perfect. We worry all the time. But, you know, Alice and I have got this deal that when we start to worry, we just start singing, God will make a way where there seems to be no. And you will hear us break out in that strangest times.
Praise God. But because that's giving him the glory for what he's doing.
Right. Yeah. And I, you know, there's times when even, you know, despite the fact that we have, that God has shown so much to us.
Right.
That he has proven time and time and time again that he's there.
Right.
That he's taking care of us. That he's got it all under control. We just have to say, yes, Lord, and go with it.
Right.
Right. We still have periods of concern,
well,
doubt,
sure.
worry, because we're human.
Human.
We're human. And it's okay.
Right.
It's okay to have those
right.
worries and doubts and fears and concerns, because that's the way God made you. God mm-hmm. made you so that you can
and accepts you right there
right.
where you
and
are.
And he loves you no matter what. He doesn't care where you're at or what you've been through. He loves you. He already knows. He already had it all planned out.
Praise God.
So, you know.
Divine design.
Divine design. That's right. And you know, it's awesome because he works it out.
Right.
If we will let him.
Amen.
If we don't jump ahead.
That's the thing, if we let him.
If we let him. If we don't jump ahead of him and say, okay, well, I don't have a job, so, but I know that, you know, Jack in the Box down the road is hiring, so I'm going to go there and I'm going to get a job. And now I have to work there, you know, at odd hours and you know, odd times and however many hours a week. And I don't have time to go on the interview that God had
yeah,
set up for me.
Exactly.
You
right.
know?
Because so, we take it into our own hands to try to
right.
fix it so often.
Right. That's one thing that I found is that oftentimes God will provide the perfect job or whatever it is that you're looking for. He knows what you need
Amen.
Better than you know what you
oh,
need.
Oh, hallelujah. And that is so true.
Yeah.
Woo. Final thoughts. Deb, you got one?
Actually, I do. And it's going to come from the strangest place in the world, but I think it so fits what we've been talking about. I saw this bumper sticker the other day, and I couldn't remember exactly what it said, so I looked it up on the internet. And of all things, it's a quote from Jimi Hendrix.
Okay.
But it is so true. When the power of love overcomes the love of power,
woo,
the world will know peace.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Wow.
That is really good. Thank you.
And that's my final thought.
It's been nice having you on the show. Alice, you have a final thought?
I do. I really want to encourage people not to be afraid to step out in faith and not to be afraid to talk to God about things that's mm-hmm. going on in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I always seem to emphasize prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is important. Don't neglect your prayer life. Just talk to God.
Amen.
Just have a conversation with
Amen.
Him.
Amen. That's what it's all about.
He'll help out in so many ways.
Oh, absolutely. Alice and Deb, it's a joy to have you back home with us at Beacon of Hope. And to have you back on the show today, live and in the studio. And it's just been fun, boy. And thanks for helping me move, too. So anyway, we invite you to our services at Beacon of Hope Ministries when you're in the Tampa Bay area. How about a trip down here and come play on the beach and come to church? We are located at 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater, easy to find, brand new strip mall. And we are welcoming you to any of our services. Sunday at 11 is a worship service. Wednesday night at 6:15 is prayer meeting. And 7 o'clock is Bible study. And we are in a series entitled, Where Do You Belong? And we're going to be studying this Wednesday night the motivational gifts and really helping you understand that God has a special place for you in his body, and you need to discover what that is and where it is, and then you need to fill the place that God has called you to fill to the best of your ability. If you live in another state or country, find a group of believers, find a place, a home group, a place where you belong and where you can really fit in and contribute as the part of the body of Christ. It's been a pleasure to be with you this week. As always, it's always fun. We come live every Sunday, 4 to 6, Tampa time. And Beacon of Hope Ministries has a lot to share with you. We have 3 books that I've written. We have a CD from Nathan Burton. And we have other things on our website. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Find out all about us. and know that you are welcome at Beacon of Hope. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries with Alice and Deb back home with us from Houston, Texas. God bless you. Have a great week. And get in the Word. Study and listen to God. Take time to spend with Him this week. It'll change your life.
It's not far from me.